You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
So last Sunday, Elliot Hines, my friend right over there, read scripture. And I loved the way he read it, if you were here, because he got up and said, "This is so confusing. It is very hard to understand." And scripture is like that so much, but we don't always admit it, that we just don't understand exactly what God is trying to say to us. But I love the fact that you did that. I also would like to point out that he said, I can't stay for the sermon because I am teaching Sunday school downstairs, because Elliot does teach Sunday school for us, and he's listening to the podcast. So if you ever do miss an opportunity to hear a sermon or be here on Sunday, you can always listen to our podcast and then understand a little bit more about what the scripture said. So when Pastor John asked me to speak this week, I read the scripture and I immediately thought of Elliot because I didn't get it either. I said, oh shoot, I mean, Paul is just really not happy with the church at Corinth, and he is just saying really mean things and it's not clear, and I didn't want to even do it. But I said to Pastor John, you know, I would be glad to preach, but on something more friendly. And he said no. I know who my boss is. So I said, okay. But as often happens, last Sunday I went home and I reread the scripture. And all of a sudden it became very clear to me what the message was, and became very clear to me why I was the one who needed to speak this Sunday. Because much to my embarrassment, the scripture described my life the two previous weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I have had arguments or been angry or mad more than not. And as things have happened, I have actually said to myself, "What is wrong with you?" meaning me. And then I read the scripture, and I realized that God had said, you need to talk about forgiveness. And then this week, I was talking to our wonderful minister assistant person, Sabrina, and she was talking to me about some real frustrating time she was having with a friend who had come in and out of her life several times over the years. And every time she had come into Sabrina's life, she was excited. And every time the person had gone out of her life, it was because they had had some kind of conflict or argument. I realize in my life, and I'm going to make an assumption in every one of your lives too, there are friends that have drifted away. Sometimes they drift away because they move away and you lose contact with each other, or you changed jobs, or they did. But sometimes they move away because you've had a conflict, an argument, a disagreement. And I realize in those times in my life that I have been unwilling, or sometimes unable, to reconcile those differences. And so I have let those people pass away. Sometimes it's been somewhat insignificant, but most of the time, I know had I been able to reconcile with them, my life would have been better. My life would have been changed. Hurt feelings and anger, they enter every one of our lives at some time or another. And in this church at Corinth, the same thing was happening. And Paul was concerned, because this was a brand new church with brand new believers. And if conflict came into their lives and defined their church, eventually it would destroy their church. During the times that I have disagreed with my friends, I have always thought that I was justified and I was right. Or more accurately, I believe they were wrong, because that's important for people to understand. You are wrong. We do that all the time. I'm looking at you guys. I'm looking at your faces. I say it's better down here. I can see what you look like. Sometimes you all have had to subordinate your own thoughts and feelings because you've been in a work situation or in a family situation where you knew you were right, but you said, you know what? I got to shut up. I got to be quiet. I can't say anything. But you were still annoyed, you just didn't say it. Sometimes you probably even acted annoyed. Now some of you, especially the business associates out there, are saying, well, that's the art of compromise. But that's not really the art of compromise. There's a big difference between actually forgiving someone and compromising with someone. And I want to talk today about forgiving. Now, this morning I really wish that we had screens in the sanctuary. That's sacrilegious, I know, but I'm going to say it because I have a video that's almost 20 years old that I would, it's a VHS, that I would have loved to have shown you. It's a video that I bought after I saw it on the Today Show, and it was almost 20 years ago. So I want to tell you the scene. It was Katie Couric, a very young, by the way, Katie Couric, and she was interviewing a husband and wife who were from Louisiana. And they had three beautiful daughters. The daughters' pictures were behind them in the interview, so I knew just exactly what these girls looked like. And so what happened was, Katie said, was interviewing them, and she started talking to them about what had happened to them, and they together shared this story that earlier the previous week, the wife had taken her three daughters, her best friend, and her two daughters up to Chicago to the American Girl store. It was a girls' trip. And they had had a great time. And as they were coming home on the train, the woman who was being interviewed and the two youngest children were in one of the cars in the back. And her best friend and this lady's two daughters and the older daughter were in the front. A drunk man driving a truck parked on the railroad tracks, and the train hit and derailed. And her best friend and her two daughters and the daughter's best friend were killed. It had taken place just days before. Now, I was getting ready to go to work that day, and I was in my bathroom getting ready, and my friend Casey, who's here today with us, was in her bathroom, and we both came out because it was such a compelling story. And I got really mad. And I said, why are these people being interviewed? How dare NBC exploit this? And why are these people willing to talk? It had just been days. And then Katie Couric said something. She said, you agreed to be interviewed today because you have a message you want to send. And the husband said, my family, my wife, and my children believe in Jesus Christ. And I know that they are in heaven today. And we are here to tell you that we believe that Jesus is sitting here with us right now, and we want to tell the world that. In addition, we want to tell the man who drove the truck that through the love of Jesus Christ, we forgive him. That was 20 years ago, and to me, that is the most amazing example of forgiveness that I had ever heard. Through the love of Jesus Christ, we forgive him. I know that there were dark days ahead for these people, and I know over and over and over again, they had to re-forgive this man. But they believed through Jesus Christ that that was what they should do. I was stunned by that. I'm stunned by that today. And I'm looking out at you, and some of you are very affected by that. I have to tell you that when I wrote this sermon, I have practiced telling this story every single day so I would not cry in front of you. And I know this story as well as I know my own. But this story of forgiveness struck me. A couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember this, but in Amish country, a man went and killed several children. And the families of their children that day went to the wife and family and said, "We forgive you." Oh my goodness. How do you do that? I don't know. What is forgiveness? So I'm going to talk a little bit about what it's not. It's not compromising your principles or your morality. It's not giving permission for bad behavior. Sometimes we think it is, but it's not. It's not simply avoiding conflict. That's more like forbearance. You annoy me because you're always late. You know, you annoy me because, okay, I'm sure you all have the list of things that people annoy you about. But that's forbearance. That's not really forgiveness. Forgiveness is for the big stuff, the significant stuff. Forgiveness is a word that in reality in the Greek means release. Release. I love the idea of release. You might not know this by looking at me, but I actually go to the gym several times a week. And often my trainer says to me, "Breathe." Well, I breathe a lot in. I don't breathe a lot out. And she'll say, "Release your breath, release your breath." And I always feel better when I do that. Or sometimes when I come to work and I'm really, really stressed because it takes me a long time to get to work and people don't know how to drive as well as I do. And so I'm there and I'm coming and I'm stressed and everything. I'll sit down and go, "Release. Release that tension. Release your shoulders, Kathy." Forgiveness is the same thing as releasing. It's a manifestation of God's love and God's truth. I read something this week when I was reading about the Amish shooting, and they said, when believers of Christ face a tragedy, they are standing when there is devastation around them. And yet they know that they are not standing alone. They are standing with God. And through that, they can remain standing, and they can move forward. I really liked that thought. I thought that was really a significant thought. Sorry. Forgiveness is looking at people in a different way. You're not looking at people and saying, "What did you do to me?" Or even, "What did I do to you?" But forgiveness is looking at people somewhat the way God looks at them and realizing that every single person is flawed. Every single person makes a mistake. Every single person needs to be forgiven at one time or another. Forgiveness is not easy. I think it's the hardest thing a man or woman has to do sometimes. It takes courage. True forgiveness is the act of a true believer and follower of Jesus. So, how do we forgive? Micah tells us, and I'm going to put my glasses on for this one. It's chapter 7, verse 18. "Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance?" That's you and me. "Do not stay angry forever, but God delights to show mercy." God forgives us because he loves to show mercy. He gets angry. He does have wrath, but that's not the way God wants to behave because he wants us to be part of him. And so God knows he has to show mercy to us. He has to forgive us in order so we can reconcile with him. Luke 6:35 tells us how to forgive. Now, when I read this, you're going to laugh and go, oh, yeah, that was easy. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Willing to forgive in the end is not just obedience to God. It's not just the idea of why can't we just all please get along. But being merciful happens when God's character becomes a part of our heart, a part of our DNA. That's when true forgiveness can happen. So some of you know that I am an ordained elder in the Church of the Nazarene. And some of you have given me a big hard time about that and kidded me about that a little bit. See, I don't know why. The Church of the Nazarene is actually an offshoot of the Methodist Church. Its founder, okay, ready for this, Phineas Brazee, what a name, was a Methodist pastor and believed that the Methodist Church at that time was moving away from its true calling of caring for the poor and the destitute. And so the Church of the Nazarene really focuses on something called holiness, and it's a Wesleyan concept, and of course the Methodist Church is also a Wesleyan church. And the idea of holiness sometimes is off-putting to people because they think that the Nazarenes think that they can be holy, and that is not true. What the Nazarenes believe, and I do too, is that it is our job as followers of Jesus to become closer to Jesus, to become closer to God, to incorporate God in our daily lives, not just on Sundays or when it's convenient, but every day. And as you do that, God becomes more a part of your DNA. And as you do that, it becomes easier for us to forgive and to move on. And that is truly what holiness is in the Nazarene concept, growing closer to God so it is part of you. And that is the idea. And I believe that so much, because we cannot truly forgive unless we have a heart like God. So this is how forgiveness works. When you do something wrong, you say, I'm sorry. And then you say it again. And then you say it again. And when you don't do anything wrong and you've still offended someone, you say, I'm sorry. And you say it again, and you say it again. And pretty soon, it becomes easier to say. And if someone offends you, you are probably still sorry for what happened. And so then you say, I'm sorry. Again and again. And I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you say, I'm sorry enough, people forgive you, because they have nothing else to say. It's very hard for people to respond to a sincere, I'm sorry. And if someone is apologizing to you and you say you're sorry back, oh, what a difference that makes in everyone's life. And oh, that is the hardest thing to do. I have found so many times people, including Kathy Cannon, that would be me, say, I'm sorry, but, okay, I know what you meant, but, I can see your point, but, I really hate that word, but, because it negates everything that went before. So I warn you to be careful on that. I often will say, I'm sorry, and then in my mind, the but happens, but you can't say it here. I read this week that forgiveness is a ministry. Forgiveness is a ministry. I really liked that. I liked it because It's not just the people you forgive whose lives you change, but you become an example to others of what true forgiveness is, what true mercy is, what true grace is. You become an example to the world, to your neighborhood, to your family, and to your friends. So I encourage you to think about forgiveness this week. Forgiveness is what I need, and I think perhaps it's what some of you need, and it's certainly what the world needs. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.